to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday, February 20. My name's Joe Pignataro, taking you through the Breakfast Bite this morning. We start with Ange Postecoglou being the king of the football world overnight, with his side Yokohama putting four goals past Sydney FC in the Asian Champions League and making them look silly out on the pitch.
Tiraton places it beautifully. Nakagawa, they're queuing up here. Goodness me, it's all too easy.
And Steve Smith is back at the place where the world fell out from underneath him in South Africa, but he's looking forward to putting all of that behind him.
It's been good. It's nice to be back playing here in South Africa. Obviously, the last time I was here, things didn't end overly well, but I've also got some really fond memories of playing here.
We'll hear more from the former Aussie captain in just a moment. Plus, we have all the build-up to the Women's T20 World Cup. The supercar season kicks off this weekend. The NBL is breaking all sorts of records. And the pre-season Marsh Series competition kicks off tonight. We are 1 month out from the 2020 AFL season. It's 27 minutes to 6 o'clock. The Breakfast Club coming up after that. But before then, let's get stuck into this.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
27 minutes away from 6 o'clock, Thursday, February 20 after 6. Daniel Harford's back in the host chair alongside Adam White and Adam Ramanaskis. After 6.30, we're going to head over to the US with Phil Murphy. Of course, runs ESPN Sports Center. He's got all the latest news from the world of sport over in the US. Before 7, we'll find you a winner on the early mail and then a jam-packed hour after 7 o'clock. Shani Layton is going to be in the studio in the Summer Sanctum to discuss last weekend's 15-point win over Carlton. It's Collingwood's best start to an AFLW season, two wins from their opening two games. But, of course, after the final siren blew is sort of when the heat came onto that game, with Stacey Livingston calling Taylor Harris useless when the ball is on the ground after the game, and that had created much discussion on Monday morning. Jamie McMillan from the North Melbourne Footy Club will join the guys after that. Their Marsh Series kicks off tomorrow night against the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium. And the NBL Finals was launched on Wednesday. Chris Goulding, the captain of Melbourne United, will be in the studio looking ahead to taking on the Sydney Kings next week. We heard Andrew Bogut on the Breakfast Club earlier in the week say maybe there's a little bit of friction and there was a rift in the Melbourne United change rooms. We can ask Chris all about that. And of course, they did everything right last weekend to win both their final two games to get into the top four. They'll take on the Sydney Kings just like they did 12 months ago for a spot in the 2020 NBL Grand Final Series. After 8 o'clock, Lisa Alexander, she's the outgoing coach of the Australian Diamond. She's got one more game to go, which is the Bushfire Charity Game on March the 1st. It'll be the last time she's in charge of the national side. And then to wrap it all up today, Ash Garner from the Australian Women's Cricket Team is building up to a big series. The Australian Women's Campaign kicks off tomorrow night against India, the T20 World Cup. They are the reigning champions. We will start with cricket very shortly. We'll hear from Elisa Healy and Elise Perry ahead of the Women's World Cup. The official launch was held yesterday, but let's head over to South Africa, where the former captain, Steve Smith, has fronted the media for the first time since being back at the place where it all ended so poorly for him earlier than 2 years ago, but he's pleased to be back there and he's looking forward to playing some cricket.
No, it's been good. It's nice to be back playing here in South Africa. Obviously, the last time I was here, things didn't end overly well, but I've also got some really fond memories of playing here. I think the 2014 Test Series we played here was amazing, and also winning the Champions League here with the Sixers at this ground, the Wanderers, in 2012. So, got some fond memories and, good to be back here playing.
So Steve Smith back at the place where it all began. Much of this press conference centred around him returning to the scene of the crime, Sandpaper Saga, as it was known 2 years ago. He did say, though, that the public have been fine with him since he arrived back in the country.
It's been good. Been to a few of the restaurants where people have been lovely. Guys have come up and had some photos and things like that, and been really nice. So, yeah, that's been good. It's been pretty, I guess, normal to when I've been here previously. So nothing really different. No, it's been good. I don't really think about it. If it happens, it happens. Again, it's same as the crowd, you know. People can treat other people however they like, you know. That's up to them. But it doesn't bother me, you know. It's sort of water off a duck's back and get on with it.
He doesn't seem to let too much faze him to Steve Smith. But 2 years ago, when he was leaving for the airport, he was swamped by 1,000,001 journalists. Yesterday, only 3 local journalists were there to ask him all sorts of questions. Players Association boss Alistair Nicholson is on hand and he's there to provide any necessary support. Well, Steve Smith yesterday said that he's only really had one flashback to what happened 2 years ago.
Only probably just walking into the hotel at the Sandton. Just initially, I was like, last time I left here, it wasn't pretty. Wasn't the best time in my life, but, you know, I moved on from that. You know, learned a lot over the last 2 years and, moving forward. So good to be back here playing and I'm looking forward to this series.
So the first game is in Johannesburg. It's 3 a.m. our time. You just heard him say there that he has learned a lot. Well, they pressed him on that and they asked him, what has the last 2 years taught Steve Smith?
I don't know. I think for me, just not taking things too seriously, just enjoying it and playing the game. That's you know, that's what we do. That's why we play the game, because we love it and enjoy it. And we're out there playing with our mates and you know, representing a country. So, you know, like it's a pretty big honour and privilege to be able to do that. And for me, yeah, it's just about enjoying it and thinking about more the processes rather than results and just taking it sort of day by day and just, yeah, enjoying it and playing.
Good to hear from Steve Smith. Now, there's a little snippet in the Herald Sun today. Matthew Hayden is expecting the South African crowd to provoke David Warner relentlessly, but he's warned them to do that at their own peril. We know when the English crowds got hold of the Australians that in the Ashes series last year, well, it seemed to maybe not have an effect on David Warner, but he couldn't get the best out of himself with the bat. Didn't really faze Steve Smith too much, but Matty Hayden is warning the South African fans to continue baiting him because it'll probably bring the best out in both of those individuals. Well, Steve Smith says he's pretty relaxed at the prospect of some comments that the spectators could make during this series.
I think they're hostile at the best of times here. So for me, it doesn't bother me too much. I think, you know, I think Justin said something the other day. You know, we had the dress rehearsal in England where there was a fair bit going on, but I honestly don't notice it. Particularly when I'm batting, I don't really hear anything that's going on. I block it all out. Maybe a little bit when I'm fielding, but then again, it's just words, you know, like it doesn't affect me. It's getting on with the business and just doing the job. And you know, if people want to say things, great. If they don't, then great as well. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I'm looking forward to it.
I think we're all looking forward to this first game on Saturday morning at Johannesburg, the first of the T20s. Let's continue on the cricket theme, but closer to home now. The Women's T20 World Cup kicks off tomorrow night in Sydney. It's Australia taking on India. They've seen a bit of each other in the last couple of weeks playing in the Tri Series, where Australia was triumphant in the final. Lisa Healy has become the talking point of the competition with her run of quite poor form. Yesterday at the official launch, she spoke exclusively to Fox Sports and says she isn't feeling any pressure despite being criticised for that poor form.
Yeah, it's about time. We've sort of been building up to it since the last World Cup in the West Indies, so it's nice that it's finally here, and obviously to be playing in Sydney for the first game is extra special. Yeah, it's been a rather busy build-up, but I guess we couldn't ask for any more with a big Tri series against two of the best sides in the world, and to put ourselves under the pump in that competition and that series was really crucial for us leading into this one. We've taken a lot of learnings out of that, and hopefully we can put them into practice on Friday. I genuinely do see it as a positive in that, you know, people are talking about our side and people genuinely care about the Australian women's cricket team and want to see us do well, and I guess for me to cop a little bit in the media, I think isn't too bad. If I can absorb some of that for the rest of the girls, then so be it. But obviously I'd like to make a few more runs, but if the team wins at the end of the tournament, I'm not too fussed. I haven't changed anything. I've been hitting the ball really well actually at training, and honestly I haven't really been out there long enough to really get out of form in any way, shape or form. So I'm just excited to get back out there Friday and give it another crack. I've prepared really well for every fixture, and look, I just need a little bit of luck to go my way, and hopefully that comes Friday and get our team off to a good start. Look, we bat right down to 11 no matter which side we pick, so from our point of view, you only really need one, maybe two batters to really fire in any T20 game to win you the match. So for us, I guess it's really exciting that it's been a different person in each of those six games that we've had leading into this, and for everyone to get a hit, I suppose, is a real positive, and everyone's contributed at one time or another, apart from probably myself. So it's a good place we're in as a batting unit. People might see it as a little wobbly, but I see it as a real positive that everyone's had a hit and contributing where they can. We play them a lot, but in saying that, they are a bit unknown, you know, each and every time we play them. Sometimes their big guns come off and sometimes they don't. So for us, it's just, if we can keep their big guns quiet with the bat and limit their damage with the ball, we know that we can hopefully get the job done. But they're really excited to be here as well, and it's such a big occasion for them to be here in Australia, and they're going to be pumped up, so it's going to be a good fixture.
So we're looking forward to that. Alisa Healy, rather. She hit 225 runs during the 2018 World Cup, well, 950 runs in 2018 and 2019 with a strike rate of 155. She is set to turn it all around if she can just spend a little bit of time out in the middle. Let's hear from Elise Perry, the Belinda Clark medalist for this year. She's won it three times. She's in a hot streak of form nearly every time she plays cricket. She spoke to Fox Sports yesterday ahead of one of the biggest campaigns for the Australians. Considering it's on their shores, are they feeling any extra pressure?
Yeah, it's been incredible. It's certainly been unprecedented for us, I think, in terms of build up to a major event. And even just today at the sort of official welcome for the teams, seeing the amount of interest and you know, people that have come down has been really phenomenal.
Obviously, the build up, the training. What about, I guess, the lead up games? You had the tri series against England and India. You had a warm up match against South Africa. One warm up match got washed out. The build up to that and what's gone behind it, is that normal?
I think casting our minds back to 2018 before the T20 World Cup, we actually had a series that preceded that in Malaysia against Pakistan. So we played a number of games before heading straight to the West Indies. But I think in terms of, like, you know, this, probably the level of prep and I guess the interest that's been placed on that and the way that people have followed that and seen how the team's tracking, yeah, certainly this one's probably the most that we've ever had.
All right, well, speaking of interest, there's also been criticism of some of the players in the build-up. Elisa Healy, of course, one of them, with her form at the moment. What do you make of, I guess, the criticism that's coming ahead of this World Cup for some of the players and maybe the team as well with the pressure?
Look, I actually think it's a really positive thing because it shows how much people care and how much I think women's sport and the way that it's followed has evolved. I mean, critical analysis of it is really important to, I guess, the improving standards of performance and players wanting to, you know, compete and perform at the highest level. Very similar to, I guess, what most male athletes have experienced for a number of years. So, you know, I guess Midge is in the hot seat at the moment, but no doubt over the next little bit that'll be different players, you know, and that's just part of it. And I think in so many ways that's a really positive thing. Obviously, I love Midge to do well, and I'm certain she will because she's one of the most talented batters in the world. But, you know, in a way she's sort of paving a bit of a way for, I guess, how sport, particularly female sport, is going to be covered from now on.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you back her to go out there and slap the leather off it because she's copped so much heat?
Yeah, based on the way that she slaps the leather off any ball that I bowl to her in the nets, absolutely. And also based off the fact that she's had a phenomenal 24 months and been the T20 World Player of the Year twice in those 2 years. So I've got no doubts she'll find it when it really matters.
How are you feeling ahead of game one against India?
Good, excited, I guess. Like, you never fully know with these competitions until you start, and I guess that's the point of just getting out there and giving it all, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I think, you know, we've got a wonderful opportunity as a team and as a sport, and I think certainly everyone wants to make the most of that.
How much do you take out of the tri-series? Playing them a few times, obviously playing them in the final, they beat you once as well.
Oh, I think it just reaffirms how wary we are of them. They're an incredibly mercurial side with wonderful players who are genuine, you know, game changers, and so we've got to play well. But I don't think you'd want anything less than the first game of the tournament.
I don't think you need much of a lure to win games in a World Cup and to go on and play in a World Cup final, but to be able to play and potentially in front of 90,000 at the MCG, is that a big lure for the team?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a lure for every team in this competition to try and break a world record for a women's sporting match attended. But more than that, just being a part of a final that isn't on that kind of scale, none of us have experienced that. And I think it has the potential to be a huge you know, moment in time for women's sport in Australia, but also around the world. So, yeah, it's a massive lure.
So there is Elise Perry. Tomorrow night it all kicks off the Women's T20 World Cup. Ash Gardner from the Australian Women's Cricket side will join the Breakfast Club at 8:20 this morning. Some other news going around before we do take a break, and great news. Late last night, the future of the Stall Gift, Australia's oldest and most prestigious professional foot race, has been secured thanks to a community support package delivered by the government. The $1.22 million four-year package will underwrite the growth and iconic Central Victorian Athletics Carnival until at least 2023. The prize money for both men and women will stay at $40,000, and Channel 7 will cover this event for the next 3 years and trying to make the event more attractive to potential sponsors. So some great news for the Stall Gift. It'll run again this year from Saturday, April 11 through to Monday, the 13th of April, and it has been assured it will run until at least 2023. Sticking on some great news with the NBL this time, the attendance for the regular season has gone up 21% this season. That is absolutely fantastic. A total of 866,082 fans attended the regular season games with an average of 6,874 per game. Some of the highlights include the Sydney Kings having a 17% increase. Melbourne United drew 117,000 fans to Melbourne Arena that included six sellout crowds of over 10,000 people. The Adelaide 36ers had a 19% increase. New Zealand, 37% increase in crowds to their games at home. The South East Melbourne Phoenix, of course, their inaugural year, they have created NBL history by having the biggest attendance for a first-year team, attracting over 75,000 fans to their home games. And Jeremy Lowliger, the CEO of the NBL, spoke yesterday about the success of the season and, of course, the big final series that is coming up.
Extremely happy with the way it's panned out. As you say, to have Bryce Cotton, the MVP of the league again, going up against Scott Machado, the fans' MVP, but there are some further storylines in that as well. DJ Newble from the Cairns Taipans taking away from Damian Martin for the first time in a while the Defensive Player of the Year award. And Mike Kelly, the coach of the Cairns Taipans, pipping Trevor Gleeson for Coach of the Year. I think that was they're all really exciting narratives. They're really going to play out on court. I'm sure there'll be some fireworks out there, as I'm sure there will be for Melbourne Sydney, as there is every time that they take to the court. So the matchups are a dream for us. And I think the basketball that's yet to come is going to be even hotter than what we've seen so far this season.
So that's Jeremy Lowliger, the CEO of the NBL. The finals, because they'll still have people come through the gates, of course, in record numbers, they're going to finish with a season average of a new record attendance, and 900,000 fans will go through the gates for the NBL season. It was on its knees a few years ago, and they've turned it all around. It is 11 minutes to 6. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got news from St Kilda and Hawthorne, who kick off the Marsh Series tonight, plus the supercar season is 24 hours away from restarting. We'll hear from some of the big players and some of the key drivers ahead of the Adelaide 500.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
I guess you never know until obviously the votes come in. But, you know, I wasn't ever going to change the way I was going to lead and the way I am with the playing group, and especially the younger players, and probably my personality. I'm pretty out there and getting along with everyone. So I've only been here for a few months, but yeah, it's great to be a part of the leadership group, and you know, I just want to help out as much as I can, especially to the younger players coming through.
So that's Brad Hill from the St Kilda Saints joining the leadership group ahead of the 2020 Marsh Series, and the 2020 AFL season kicking off in a month's time. Of course, it was famously dumped from the Fremantle leadership group, I think it was 12 months ago. So good to have him back into the leadership group. The Saints are now going to be led by Jarryn Geary for the fourth straight year. Included also in that leadership group is Tim Membry, Seb Ross, Jack Billings, Brad Hill, who we've just heard from, and Dylan Robertson, who we're going to hear from in a moment. But first, let's hear from the captain of the Saints, Jarryn Geary.
Great responsibility to have, something I've really enjoyed doing over the last few years. And, you know, it's something that when you get voted in by your peers, you're pretty proud of. So I'm looking forward to leading the boys out again this year. Hopefully it's a bit more often this year than it was last year. But, yeah, again, really humbled and proud to lead the Saints. Yeah, it's always hard when you can't help a cause. It was a, you know, a tough year in many ways last year, not just for me, but for a lot of guys within the club. So things are looking up this year. It's an exciting place to be. And last year was one we put behind us and moved forward. But great vibe around the footy club. I've got some new talent in, some new coaches, and it's a really exciting place to be at the moment. You know, a number of guys from other clubs have come in, and they'll be ready to go early on in the season. Moorabbin's been pumping the last period of time. You know, we had the girls play their first game here a couple of weeks ago, and show of faith from the Saints fans that there was, you know, a lockout, which is great, and we looked forward to seeing that again on Thursday. It's a great place to come and watch footy, and to have games here again is a significant piece to our future, and something that obviously the fans really love because they have shown up in numbers over the last few weeks. We go into this week with, you know, basically only one or two guys unavailable, so it's going to be tight, it's going to be competitive. Getting a spot for round one, which is really healthy. So when it gets to that point, it's going to be interesting to see how we go, but we'll have a really, really, really strong team come round one.
Very confident on the year ahead is Jarryn Geary, now under new coach Brett Ratton. Let's have a listen to Dylan Robertson 675 days after collapsing against Geelong at GMHBA Stadium. He's exhausted every avenue to get himself fit, firing, back and ready to go. He's part of the leadership group and it is one of the more fantastic stories of the pre-season.
All I've sort of been thinking about for a while, so to get back and to be this close to the start of the season is really exciting, and it makes the sort of last couple of years sort of feel like it hasn't happened. So the fact that footy's around the corner is really exciting. Those first sort of couple of days after things happen, you probably think it'll be hard to get back, but after the sort of dust settles and you realise this is what you want to do and you want to exhaust every avenue and find out what you can, that sort of gives you that little bit of purpose to get back. And luckily the club allowed me to do that, to go sort of see some people, get some opinions and sort of take my time with it. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed the support I've had from the club. Yeah, I don't think about it. I think I said this time last year, I don't really think about it unless I get asked about it, which is pretty much every day. But, yeah, I don't really have thoughts about it, so, which is a good thing. I wouldn't want to be running out there having those doubts. So, yeah. Yeah, normal week, and then every sort of couple of months I might catch up with a cardiologist just to sort of tick a box and just see if everything's on track. So, yeah, nothing really too crazy. Yeah, I didn't sort of know how it would go this year. I sort of would have understood if I didn't get voted in just because I haven't been sort of involved as much. But, yeah, the fact that the boys sort of still voted me in and wanted me to leave was a vote of confidence and just something that I wanted to grab with two hands. And hopefully this year I'll be able to do some stuff on the field rather than just, yeah, behind closed doors.
We'll get to see him tonight in action. St Kilda take on the Hawks at Moorabbin at 7:10. Let's have a look at the Hawthorn side of things. They are expected to field one of their stronger March Series teams of 26 players. That includes Ben McAvoy, it includes Ben Stratton, John Segler in the ruck. Sam Frost will play in new colours after moving across from Melbourne. Jaeger O'Meara in limited minutes, and Jonathan Patton and Tom Mitchell. Adam Uze, the Hawks assistant coach, spoke to the media yesterday about the potential look of the Hawthorn lineup.
We're going to take in a squad of 26. So we've got a few guys that will be on managed game time. But the majority of our players that are available to play will play, especially in the first half. So, we're looking to take in a pretty strong side to start off the March series.
And one of those players is going to be Tom Mitchell, the Brownlow medalist from 2018, who missed all of last year with a broken leg. He's back in action and he's expected to get plenty of the Sharon. And how good will it be for him to get it out of the middle and kick it down to Johnny Patton? Here is Adam Uze on Tom Mitchell.
He'll manage his game time, but he's pretty excited about playing and getting back out there amongst his teammates and go and hit some bodies. He's just progressed really well through our little intra-clubs and match play that we've had, so he's gained some confidence. It was going to be, a lot of it was going to be based on physically whether he was right and then mentally when he's ready to start hitting some bodies. So he's in a good spot and he'll play some footy.
Good to hear for Hawthorn fans. What about Jonathan Patton? He's come across from the Giants and he's expected to be a focal point in the Hawthorn forward line as a replacement for Jared Roughhead, who retired last year.
He's got to play big and create a contest for us. So we don't put a massive price on goals and who's kicking the goals. But if our team is scoring well and scoring heavily, he'll have a fair impact on that, whether he's kicking them or helping us create them.
Now there is Adam Uze ahead of tonight's game. So we're looking forward to the March series kicking off. Jamie McMillan from North Melbourne will join the Breakfast Club to look at tomorrow night's game, the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne. Let's talk about Geelong for a second. And Mark Blitzarves, before we hear from him talking about the Cats' injuries during this pre-season, he's part of the State of Origin game that's going to be happening next Friday night, and he would like to see it become a regular fixture.
Potentially like league do mid-season type set up, whether the AFL put in another bye week and just get the players to buy in. And look, there could be injuries, but that's the risk you take. But if they made it that prestigious event that it is an honour and people want to be selected, it's something that you're ready to play for, and obviously the players and all the coaches need to buy in on that. But look, it could be something and starts next week. It could be something
moving forward in the future?
Rugby league do it really well, and it seems to me that it's really prestigious with the players and it's got so much history, so it would be stepping stones for the AFL early days, but again, it needs the players buy-in, but yeah, I think it could be something that could continue if we do it consistently, build that history, and then something that becomes a part of the calendar.
He's very passionate about State of Origin, as is all 54 participants in this game. He's looking forward to taking on his forward, Tommy Hawkins, standing him in the forward line. Next Friday night, we can't wait for the State of Origin. That's all we've got time for this morning after 6 o'clock with the news with Johnny Bowder, Daniel Harford, Adam White and Adam Ramanaskis taking you through the morning. Phil Murphy from the State, Shani Layton from the Magpies, Jane McMillan from North Melbourne, Chris Golding talking NBL, Lisa Alexander, the outgoing coach of the Australian Diamonds and Ash Gardner to preview the T20 Women's World Cup. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 5:30.